Hey yo, we about to tear it up. Hey, yo.
Break for break, break for break it down.
This right here is how we do it. Break it down.
It's the Breaking Atoms podcast where we break things down to the very last compound. My name is Sumit, aka the Potty Mouth of the South. Chris is having a well-deserved day off, but today represents a step change for us. For the foreseeable future, Breaking Atoms will be putting out 2 episodes a week. We'd like to thank everyone globally for their love and support so far. We just want to give you more content, and thus begins the Lost Tapes. Each week, we'll delve into the Hip Hop Chronicle archives and reissue an interview that has been lost to the interwebs. First up is Lupe Fiasco. Now, this interview took place in February 2011, a day before Lupe's birthday. In this interview, Lupe talks about Lasers, his first rapping name, why state-run radio was inspired by Trey the Truth, the CRS album with Pharrell and Kanye, and a Japanese cartoon he was going to release. Check it out.
Now, hold on. I heard it was your birthday.
Yeah, my birthday was yesterday.
Happy birthday.
But it's 3 days.
Oh, 3 days. Whoa, explain that, please. Explain.
Well, I'm celebrating for 3 days.
You're celebrating for three. Why not a month? Why can't you celebrate for a month, Lupe?
That's too much.
Come on,
man. That much.
Why not? Your album's coming out, you know.
Yeah, but
you
could. But then that's a different celebration.
But what you could do is you could celebrate your birthday up until the album drops and then celebrate another month for your album.
That's way too much celebration.
You can't party that hard?
I can't party that hard. You know.
Okay, well, so Lupe, album is finally coming out.
Yeah.
With all the fiasco, no pun intended, with what happened, it's finally coming out. But what is this album saying about you as a person? Where are you at right now?
I guess I'm in a transition, you know, going from, you know, it's funky, because it's one of those, what was that? I'm sorry. It's one of those, how can I put it? This album is like half personal, half not personal.
Right.
It's half, you know, compromise, label, stuff, you know. Other half, super deeply personal.
Yeah.
Some of it really, really light. So if you look at it like that, I guess if you look at it as being kind of like, you know, somewhat some of me, some of the stuff that I had to do, you know, some of the stuff that I wanted to try, some of the stuff that I felt I needed to do, you know, I guess that's the story of where I'm at right now is all these different forces, you know, and I'm in the midst of them working on me until I get to my next, you know, phase or the next, you know, the next
stage,
stage of what I'm gonna be.
To my understanding, the first single, The Show Must Go On, that wasn't entirely your choice to have the first single.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It wasn't. So if I'm correct in assuming now, but listen to the lyrics. It seems like you're going at the very people that wanted to put that out in the first place.
Yeah.
It was, you say, have you ever had that feeling that you're being had? Don't that shit ever make you mad?
Treat you like a slave, chains all on your soul, and put whips upon your back. We'll be lying through their teeth, hope you slip up off your path. I don't switch up, I just laugh. Put my kicks up on their desks, unaffected by their threats, and get busy on their ass. That's how that shot town made me, that's how my daddy raised me. And glittering may not be gold, don't let nobody play me.
I thought, well, that's strange, because surely they, if they looked at the lyrics, they would have seen that.
Yeah, they said that.
But and they still put out. I thought that was.
But they had to, because they. What you have to understand is, and I think what people need to understand is, you're talking to someone, you know, who writes about his life and writes about the things he sees, you know. So if you put me through hell, you know, I'm gonna write about hell. Like if you put me through some crazy situation, I'm gonna talk about the crazy situation. So if I'm gonna talk about Obama and Ahmadinejad and, you know, Hamas and, you know, Zionist Israel, why wouldn't you think I would talk about, you know, the record exec who made me feel like shit? You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like, you yeah. think I wouldn't do that, or the industry? So it's kind of like, you know, it's like you filming a doc. It's like if somebody's shadowing you and they're filming like a documentary, you know, a writer shadowing you.
Mm.
He's going to write down what's going on. He wants to tell the full story. So I felt it was important to tell the full story. And Wish Show Goes On, it tells that. It tells the that personal side of it, and then I didn't want to get too caught up in that, you know. And yeah. So second verse, third verse, I go right into, you know, the crux and the meat of the matter, which is, you know, still explaining myself as trying to be the balance in hip hop, to go against the grain in hip hop, to go against the grain in negativity with positivity, but still make it cool, you know, and still be something that people will want to emulate, but also just giving people a choice, you know, and at the same time making a statement where I say, you know, it's people who really think hip hop is very destructive, and I happen to be one of them. You know, and with that, you need balance within that.
Yeah.
It's good to tell the story, but you need balance.
Definitely.
You know? So me shooting off in my label in a very kind of visceral way, I had to balance it out with, you know, let me take this time not to just focus on the selfish, stupid battle between me and this label. Let me focus on Gaza. Let me focus on the kids that are around the world, you know, who need role models, who feel that there's a... so I can show that there's a certain level of relativity between myself and them and where I came from and the same struggles, because we're not all super glamorous, glorified gangsters. You know, it's not that. You know,
it's not that.
A large section of the population isn't like that, so you need people speaking for you like that. So, you know, it's deep. If you really want to get into it like that, but at the end of the day, it's as simple as being a very good song.
Tell me about State Run Radio, the track. What was the inspiration behind that? Because we haven't heard that, so.
Right.
So I thought it was an interesting title, and I thought, is Lupe just going to go in on this? I've not heard the track, so.
It's featuring Matt Mahaffey, produced by King David, and I helped a little bit.
you helped?
I won't take too much credit.
What did you help with?
Just the structure.
The structure. So you got a co-producer.
No, I don't want that. If I fully produce it, then so be it.
Okay, you fair know, enough.
If not, I don't need it. But anyway, the song is about it's taking radio. It's called State Run Radio. You know, so it's about, you know, always hearing one message just looped and beat into you, and so it's the parallel between, you know, media, the philosophy, the government, schools, whatever you want to parallel it with or compare it to, but it's basically me using radio stations, you know, and DJs and formats and all of the caveats and the cliches of a radio station, and comparing it to that. But it's so straightforward, and it's to radio as well, because I had real close with my friend Trader Truth, and
he
went through a whole period where he was banned.
Yes, he
from
was
a particular radio station. And it was almost like, yo, I'm going to do a song for you, man. I'm going to show solidarity. Because I actually brought him out on tour with me. He's the homeboy.
Yeah.
The Trey. And it was like looking at his situation, and it was like, okay, that's a song. Mm. You know, that it relates to him. And that's how I am. I like to have the multi-pronged, you know, kind of things that touch and dabble in every area. Open to interpretation. Interpret it how you
Definitely.
Want.
Definitely.
But yes, Stay Run Radio is one of my favorite songs on the record.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs on the record.
Listening session today, are we going to hear that joint today? Because I know there's only 7 tracks we're going to hear today. So.
Yeah, there's because no one has the album. Not even me. I don't.
Why?
Because people like to leak things.
Oh, so you always secure. Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
Things leak, people like to blame me. It's like, all right, well, now I don't even have it.
Okay, okay.
But now I got a few songs that I'll probably throw in there to augment what the label has, and we'll get it nice. So you'll hear State Run Radio. I'll play it tonight.
Okay, that's good, because I'm definitely looking forward to hearing it. What was the last track you finished for the album?
The last, absolute last record.
Yeah.
Was it may have been, oh, a song called Letting Go.
Letting Go.
Which was the first record on the album. I think it was the last song we did for Lasers.
Yeah. When was the first time Wasulu met Lupe Fiasco?
It had to be, I don't know what it was. It was we did a high school talent show.
Okay.
And they were doing like the introductions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we were sitting in the crowd and we had to walk up to the stage. But anyway, they were doing the introductions, and the lady, Lupe Fiasco wasn't my, it was like an AKA at that time.
Right.
And the lady, you know, there was 4 of us, and the lady was like, yo, Nick, get ready for the sounds of Bishop G, and Doughboy, and Napo, and Lupe Fiasco. And the way she said it, I was like, yeah, that's me. I'll take it now. Yeah. So to hear it back, you know, from somebody, and then we went on rocked the show, and then from that point on, you know, I became
Lupe
Fiasco.
So wow, that's interesting. What was the first rapper name you had? Do you remember?
Lil Lou. Lyrical Underdog.
You still the Lyrical Underdog though.
Yeah.
You still feel that. Yeah. But you've got all the respect from everybody, Lupe. Like everyone, like
I don't think my stuff is that good. So I'll give it to you. I don't think it's that good. But I say that with a caveat.
Okay.
That I know it's better than 95%. You know? So there's a certain kind of egotistical narcissism that goes into it as well. But I still don't think it's that good.
It is, though. But you have to understand it is that good. I'm not just saying it because you're in front of me. I'm saying it. It's real. It is that good. Because there's no there's only certain artists that can have that kind of fan base that loyal to them. Mm-hmm. And it's only because when you touch them, you have to touch them in a certain way for them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that doesn't happen for every single artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Apple.
You you gotta change your view on that. You are
well, you know, it's honestly, man, it's neither here nor there with me. You know, it isn't something that affects me. You know, it's something that I entertain for the sake of, you know, the public matters or in the public space. But, you know, privately, it doesn't really affect me like
Fair
that.
Enough.
You know, I'll see something and it'll inspire me to create something or do something like that. But it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't have a mastery over me. You know, it doesn't dictate, you know, what I'm going to do next or how I'm going to feel this way or the next. You know, it is what it is.
What's that with the CRS album? Like, come on, like just man, at this point, I'm gonna lie, I'm getting a bit. It's like detox. It's just doing my head.
Yeah, but I don't know. And that's the thing. I've always said I don't know. You know, I've always said I don't know what's going on with this album because it's not like you just got. We're all just sitting at home. It ain't like we just all retired and it's like we need something to do. Everybody's working. You know, Kanye's working on not only and the interim of it. Not only was we, you know. Dark Twisted Fantasy, but then Watch the Throne. Now he's doing another record.
Yeah,
you know. Then you got P, who was doing two NERD records. Now he's doing like another record and some movies and making chairs. And you know. And then you got me, who I'm like constantly on the road, constantly on tour. Then I'm in the same boat. Lasers, Japanese cartoon. Then I'm working on another Japanese cartoon record and another Lupe record to drop this year.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You're dropping another one this year?
I will. A Japanese cartoon and another Lupe record.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So we get after waiting for so long, we get two Lupe albums.
Pow, pow, pow.
Oh, it's like that. It's like the Muhammad Ali quick jab.
There you have it. The very first Lost Tapes episode with Lupe Fiasco. Big thank you to Chris and to everyone listening. We just want to thank you and give you as much content as possible. As always, you can follow us on social at Break the Atoms. You can find us on Amazon Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and every major platform. Until then, peace.